morning, and thanks for tuning in KSLM this fine day here on 104.3 FM and 1220 AM as we now present Good Morning Salem with Stacy Ann.
Good Monday morning to you. Hello, I'm Stacy Ann. You're listening to Reliable News Talk Radio, KSLM. News that you can use on this marvelous Monday and every day. Here to encourage, educate, engage, and empower you with news that you can use. So glad to have you along for the ride. And in the studio with me today is Terry. Good morning,
good
Terry.
Morning.
How are you?
As that song was coming on, good morning, good morning. I'm thinking, good gravy. It's Monday.
Good gravy.
Good gravy.
Last week when we had Josh on, he said he and I were going to try to do it ourselves, you know, sing or make it up or whatever.
My.
He actually said back when he was in music that he has a song similar. By the way, he sent that to me. I'll have to listen to it. And he said, you may want to look into that, but we're so glad to have you here listening, tuning in this morning. It is Monday after a holiday weekend, right?
Yeah, it was kind of different weekend.
Yeah. And certainly we had a lot of opportunity on Thursday for Thanksgiving. We went to the coast, and
yes,
that was awesome.
Loved it.
After we had done the show here, and then you know, just the weekend, it seemed to be really restful and peaceful.
Yeah,
and
yeah,
and
of course, I worked on Friday and Saturday.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And on my day off Sunday. But
yeah.
Anyway, people were in a good mood.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we did actually pretty well for this season.
Mm-hmm.
You know, people were coming in excited and moods were good. So
And that was the case there at the Harley shop, but some other shops, some downtown shops, had a difficult weekend. I'm telling you, friends, we've got to get behind our small businesses and we've got to show up. And I'm just really concerned. And we're going to get into that a little bit later on in the hour. What can we do to stand with these businesses, particularly the ones that are still closed, and help them, those that are bold and brave, that will say, nope, we're not staying closed. We're going to reopen and we're going to take care of our families.
A lot of that's in the news right now.
And there's some things going on.
Mm-hmm.
And so we need to keep the faith, friends. We need to not stay in that place of fear, which I've talked about it. We need to stay in a place of faith. And with that, this morning, I want to share this video and audio from John Maxwell talking about that. Here we go.
In a minute with Maxwell. Every one of us in our life have some faith, and we have some fear. And I don't think that we ever get rid of either emotion completely. I run into people who say, well, you know, you have to get rid of all your fears. I don't think that's possible. I think that you can minimize your fears. In fact, what I teach people all the time is starve your fears and feed your faith. In other words, the emotion that you work on the hardest is what you feed that grows the most. And what I discovered a long time ago is you don't try to get rid of fear. If you really want to not have fear control you, just increase your faith, feed your faith. The more that it becomes big in your life, the more that fear becomes small in your life. So it's not an issue of, do I get rid of the bad emotions and hold on to the good emotions? It's just the fact, which ones do I embrace? The ones that I embrace are the ones that grow. The ones that I ignore are the ones that shrink. So with your faith, live it, love it, embrace it, practice it, it'll grow. Then guess what happens? Your fears begin to get smaller.
Building our faith on this Monday, you're listening to Reliable News Talk Radio, KSLM. And if it is your birthday today, I want to say happy birthday to you. You know whose birthday it is today?
Who?
It is Governor Kristi Noem's birthday today.
She is so cool. She's like my favorite.
She is super cool, and she is just as real as she appears on TV as she is
straight
when you're having
down
a conversation with her. And I remember spending some time with her early on when she was running for Congress. I knew her when she was up at the State House, but not as well as when she went for Congress. And she would go county to county, city to city, and her friend Beth would ride along with her. And I remember her and Brian would come to town, and they would go to church, to our church, and there she'd be. And our kids went to camp together, which was really fun. Her youngest son is my daughter Bree's age, and so it was real fun to watch that, you know, in all these different areas I've been able to watch Kristi, and she's just grown into a strong, faithful, very, very real leader.
How long is her term?
And she has two more, I believe, two more years.
Okay.
And when she won, she was our congressional representative in South Dakota for several years, and then came back to the state. And I know that she wanted to because her son was in high school and her daughters mm-hmm. had already graduated. And so good to wish her a happy birthday today. And if it's your birthday as well, we celebrate you today. And we encourage you.
Good job being born.
Yes. And if you have a birthday or someone in your family has a birthday, we certainly want to celebrate that with you. So let us know. We'll give them a shout out.
That's
on the
right.
radio, right? And so as we continue on in the headlines and throughout the weekend, you may not have realized this, but there was a reset this weekend. I think maybe like right before Thanksgiving on how they are tracking the numbers in Oregon for the pandemic and the China virus.
Mm-hmm.
I've noticed a lot of people aren't calling it COVID-19 anymore. They're just calling it the China virus.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of conservatives. Isn't that interesting? And so this was interesting. The statistics, I love this input, and I'm going to read it, because when you look at how they've been tracking it, of course, early on they were doing confirmed cases and then suspected cases. Now they put them all together.
Mm-hmm.
So probable cases,
What's the word where you tell all the people you've been around? What's mm-hmm. the word I'm
Well, the
for?
Contract tracing, it's
yeah.
not probable, but possible.
What's
what is that
other
word? Yeah, there's a word
it's
out there.
It's stuck in my brain somewhere.
They, what is it?
Almost got it.
I know, we can look in the paper. It'll probably have it right there. But
it's like suspected, but that's the wrong word. What's that other word?
I know, it's a Monday.
It's a Monday.
I know. You better sip another sip of coffee, I suppose. But this gentleman, Mark Anderson, wrote this. In a statistics course final, this would get you a failing grade. Why? Because you demonstrated you failed to grasp the basic in what is supposed to be measuring and reporting. In the real world, everything you analyze thereafter is flawed, and any actions you based on that analysis would also be flawed and would have faulty results. Yes, that's right. We've shut things down because the government cannot do math. What the story reveals is that Oregon has been measuring positivity rates incorrectly by not counting all the tests. As a result, they've been reporting a result that is more than double the actual rates. Quick refresher, numerator is the top number. Denominator is the bottom number. Dividing the numerator by the denominator gives you a percentage. Here's how Oregon has been doing it. They've been dividing positive test results by people, not by tests. How does that throw things off? Let's say one person takes the test 10 times. They are positive one time out of those 10 tests. A non-governmental person who understands math would say there has been a 10% positive rate. In other words, 1 in the numerator divided by the denominator of 10, that's 1 in 10, 10%. But Oregon used people for the denominator. So using their math in the above example, you would have 100% positivity rate. 1 positive divided by 1 person equals 100%. Those statistics and in that kind of work in a course would get you a failing grade. And so there's been a reset now, and it's been interesting because as you watch these numbers, and we never really hear who gets better. Mm-mm. I love how going back to South Dakota, we just did a shout out to Kristi Noem and the governor, and how they've been doing their numbers. They count confirmed cases,
right.
And they also track who gets better. So when you hear a number like 60-some, 70,000 cases that they keep throwing out, they being the media,
mm-hmm.
70,000 cases, you keep hearing 70,000 cases, friends, that's since January or February when they first started counting. So those are people, many of them have had it.
People we know.
Been positive and
people
are moving
you know.
On, moving on with their lives.
Yeah.
But my question is this, Terry, I don't know who's getting tested. Where are they doing these tests? Who's getting tested? Because some days it's 800 positive.
Some days it's 1,500.
Some days it's 15.
What is that?
It just makes us question the trust. You trust it?
Well, that's
the whole
government. We have to trust our government. That's how we've been built. That was the agreement.
Mm-hmm.
Of the Constitution. Hey, you're governed by Constitution. We'll trust you. You know, it's a handshake, gentleman's agreement, if you will. And so when we start to veer and we're like, that don't sound right. well, they've been doing some crazy stuff for a while, but once the trust is gone, now we need hard evidence, and we're not being provided that.
Well, and my thing going way back to March, too, is where are the charts on common sense? They're not tracking common sense, and yet they're basing all this lockdown and shutdown, and people who have built their businesses, taken the risk, gotten the loans, secured the property,
worked
opened up
12, 14 hours a day for years.
For years,
not taking
vacations. Not hardly taking vacations or paying themselves.
And it's finally starting to give them a return.
And giving them a return, and then boom, they're locked down. And so what are businesses to do?
The gentleman with the gyms, that's hard. You imagine how many hours he spent there, the employees he's, you know, had to help and work through and hire and fire and all the things and insurance and cleanliness. And I mean, just, I can't imagine what work he's put in.
Well, and I saw some debate on forums over the weekend as to, is it appropriate for people to focus on government workers who are issuing these fines? Mm-hmm. Is that an appropriate action to be calling for protesting at their personal homes and putting their information out there in public? And
we'd
things
like to hear your opinion on
and
that.
And my thing is, when there's a vacuum of leadership, and this is a strong, I'm going to say a strong comment here. We can have all the back room strategy meetings, all the back door strategy meetings to try to figure this out, and have been for several years, especially with Governor Brown and trying to get her recalled. But until someone steps up, there is a vacuum in leadership here in Oregon. And the people are rising up, and there are going to be natural leaders starting to rise. And it may or may not be in an effective way or the best way, but people are trying to do something.
Taking action.
And they're taking action. And so if I compel our leaders, those in the Senate, in the House here in Oregon, those in the party, to start making your plan public. Let's let the people know what's going on so they can put their effort and their passion towards things that are good. Now, one thing I do believe that happened this weekend when yesterday they met in Silverton at the OSHA's house, the inspector's house. It was peaceful.
Yep.
Nothing was
the
broken.
The sheriff there in the town said everything was fine. They stayed on the sidewalk. There was no burning, no graffiti, no roadblock. Shocker.
Yes. And so to compare them to Antifa and their tactics is not even a comparison. But what I will say in grassroots organizing and momentum building, I know that now there's pressure. When they go back, the OSHA and the state employees go back to work this week, and they know that this has happened to one of their fellows, they're going to say, you know, I don't want that happen in my block. I don't even want people to know I'm working in state government. You know, it's certainly going to exert some internal pressure in the system that hasn't happened. They've kind of been protected in a sense, and certainly none of them have been employed or furloughed. They have not lost their checks.
Right.
They have no idea what it's like for some of these folks that
I'm sure they have friends that have gone that are going through this. I'm not saying they're in a bubble, but you're right. Personally,
I think they're protected and
presumptive.
Yeah, that's the word. Presumptive.
That's the word I found.
Yes, you remembered it. And so, you know, even this weekend, I talked to a gentleman that you and I both know, and he is still waiting for his unemployment relief.
Good heavens.
That's a long time. And so there are people who are experiencing all kinds of things that we don't even have an understanding. And that's what's the beauty about radio and what we're doing here, Terry, is we have an opportunity to tell their stories.
We can be the voice.
When we come back from this break, I'm going to talk about a business, a brave business owner who's going to take a stand coming up. And we'll see if we can get him to join us a little bit later.
Feel free to call in if you're a business owner.
Yep. Reliable News Talk Radio, KSLM. We'll be back after this. Good morning to you. You're listening to Reliable News Talk Radio, KSLM. It's 7:22 in the morning, and Terry, what's our weather forecast for today?
Ooh, I was singing Good Gravy. Sorry. Caught me off guard. Good Gravy. So, currently it's about 43 degrees. We're looking for a high of 50 today, and it's going to be scattered, splattered, yes, folks, raining until probably 6 or 7 this evening. So, We don't take umbrellas around here, but you definitely don't want to run around with that brand new perm.
Do people still do perms? I wonder.
You know, I don't know. I think it was the other day we were watching. It's been a while now. We were watching Legally Blonde, and they were talking about perms and shower and water and how it messes it all up.
Well, I do think that's something of the 80s and 90s and before that.
Are you saying I'm stuck?
But I do know that something that isn't old school, it's still relevant back in Arkansas, is Grandma gets her hair done every Wednesday,
every
right?
Every Wednesday. It's beauty
yeah,
day.
For all these
that's
days.
Right.
And Grandma's in her 90s.
Oh, yeah. 94,
and
I believe
she,
it is.
She has been, I think there was a time, though, when there was some COVID initially that she went a few weeks
yeah,
without
that,
going. But,
yeah, that was a bad time for the
mm-hmm.
family. Grandma was not happy.
Grandma doesn't get like that. She is a doll.
She's throwing stuff across the room.
Oh, not. No, she is like the most incredible woman, and we are so blessed to have her all these years.
All these years.
And,
I love it.
Such a great inspiration, and shout out to Mama and Grandma
Yay.
This morning if they're listening. So, you know, here in Oregon, we've had this lockdown and the initial freeze. They said 2-week freeze because, you know, we got to get control of this.
No,
which
remember,
is,
before the freeze, it was the pause.
Oh, it was a pause.
A 2-week pause, which then, lasted 2 days.
And then she announced
froze.
The freeze. But
so,
then, and then all of them started like, we're going to do a freeze, but you have a week to prepare. And
what
it just, it's delay
that?
Tactic, delay tactic and all of that. So I saw this online. I thought it was very compelling. And this Justin Zinser, and he's down in the Eugene area. And he said, we will be reopening our business next week with or without Cape Brown's freeze plan permission. We've had zero COVID cases all year. Take all the best practices, precautions, and need to make sure that our team is able to take care of their homes, their families this holiday season. Wish us luck at Full House Poker. Happy holidays to all of you. Stay safe out there at the Salem protests. And so I had a chance to get a hold of Justin, and am very fortunate to connect with him today and hear his story. I was going to read this letter, and I'll definitely put it up on our Facebook page and on our website, because I think it's important that you guys see what he wrote. It is incredible, and he just nails it all point by point by point. Even has the Oregon Constitution listed, and he has made a great case and a great cause to reopen. And I'm really excited to meet Justin for the first time. We've actually just talked as far as texting back and forth and through social media. And so I'm going to bring him up on the air now. Good morning, Justin. How are you doing?
Good. How are you, Stacey
Ann? I'm doing fantastic. Thank you for joining us this morning. And I have to say, I was so proud of you. I don't even know you yet, but I am so proud of you for standing strong and being that defender of your community, of families, and saying, nope, not going to do this. We've complied long enough, and now it's really causing harm. Talk to us a little bit about what's been going on. Tell us your story about your business and how you got it started and how this pandemic's been affecting you.
Sure. Well, I appreciate the opportunity for that. And you know, it's difficult because we understand sometimes we have to sacrifice for the greater good, but sometimes that goes in both directions. And we feel like we've already done our part through March and April and May and the last 2 weeks. And maybe now it's time that sacrifice for the greater good recognizes the other side that keeps doing the sacrifices. And of course, nobody wants to get their friend, family, or community sick.
Mm-hmm.
To assume that that's what small businesses are doing by wanting to stay open and wanting to provide job opportunities and wanting to keep food on the table for their friends and family and team. That's the part that gets frustrating. That's not what small businesses are trying to do. They're trying to create good opportunities in the community, keep people and their livelihoods protected at the same time of protecting lives. And I appreciate you reaching out. And yeah, we've got kind of a fun couple of businesses, and we're ready to stay back open, and we're never going to close again unless we're absolutely forced to. And I don't think these unconstitutional mandates from Governor Brown are that.
Well, so, here in Salem, we had in the spring, if you remember, we had the Glamour Studio reopen early, and kind of under that same premise, like, we've got mouths to feed, we've got people that need services. I've got a responsibility, and I've got to answer to something more than the governor. I've got a lot of people that are depending on me, and she did that, and was used almost as an example to say, you know, kind of, and she still stayed strong. You know, she still did it. And within a few weeks or even days, I think, is when they started backing off on the restrictions. And now we have right here in Salem, a lot of the gyms, the courthouse gyms, there's four of them, I believe, in Salem have never closed. And now they're facing a $90,000 fine, and a bunch of folks protest at one of the inspectors' house yesterday. And exerting a little bit of pressure on and awareness that, look, you know, you're impacting lives, and this can no longer go on. And I thought you made a valid point, and we're going to have to go to a break, and I hope you can hang on with me beyond this break. But you made a valid point in your post and in this information, this letter, which is laid out beautifully, by the way, a great argument that, you know, OSHA can only overrule or kind of guide those that have employees. And it sounds like you're not in that kind of in those guidelines. You have a business, but you don't necessarily have employees. Is that correct?
It is. Yes. We have a lot of independent contractors that we work with, and some of our jobs are more seasonal, and they're able to go work different places. The poker room has poker dealers that we'll go to Las Vegas for the summer, or go up to Portland for a big event, or even to the Indian casinos. And so they work their own small businesses, and much like Lindsay, which congratulations to her. And she's from Silverton as well. I'm proud of her and the salons keeping open back in March and April. And thanks for sharing her story as well.
Yes, because being bold and being brave seems to be the thing these days. And I know that more and more business owners are wanting to do that. And when they hear your story and they hear Lindsay's story, they say, well, I can do this too. And when we get together and we're strong together, we can influence policy, I believe. So we're going to continue the conversation with Justin when we get back after this. You're listening to Reliable News Talk Radio, KSLM. News that you can use on this Monday and every day. We'll be back after this. Good morning to you. You're listening to Reliable News Talk Radio, KSLM. News that you can use on this marvelous Monday and every day. Terry in the studio with me.
Good morning.
You know, Terry, this quote is really profound to me. Silence in the face of evil is itself evil. God will not hold us guiltless. Not to speak is to speak. Not to act is to act. Dietrich Bonhoeffer. And I think of people like Justin and Lindsay and others, the gentleman who owns, Mr. Miller, I believe is his name, who owns the courthouse, who are being bold and brave in this time to say, no, not here. No, my business, I've got to stand strong and I've got to lead the way. And Justin, I'm so proud of you. And I have to say, you know, what you had said in your letter, which I didn't read the whole thing, and I have it here and I'll put it up on our Facebook page. I think it's just laid out the great argument of where we're at today. And the reality is restricting the movement of free but sick people is quarantine. Mm-hmm. Restricting the movement of free and healthy people is tyranny.
Well, what I see in that is I see a lot of things that people have been talking about, and he's well done in putting it all together.
Yes. And Justin, so when you talk about your business, you know, how long have you been doing this business? It sounds like you have like an event center where you allow people to come together, whether it be like for charitable reasons or for fun gatherings. And this is kind of what you have. Is that the right picture?
It is. Yes. So I kind of consider my job a mix between, well, my title is visionary of the Full House Poker companies, and I consider my job as being like the chief fun creator.
Mm.
We've been around for 16 years, going on
wow.
our 16th year. Full House Poker opened back in 2005, and we were the first no-rake poker room. For those that don't know what rake is, rake, we call it no-take, too. At a casino, they take $4, $5, $6 out of every poker hand. And I experienced that as a player in a poker tournament, actually, at Spirit Mountain, and wondered why part of the prize pool was gone. I had never thought that places take money out of the tournament. I thought it was meant for people to get together and have fun. And so we thought there was a better way, and spent years researching how to make that happen under Oregon's social gaming laws. And that's what Full House Poker is. It's a social gaming club. It's a poker room, but the first no-rake poker room. So where players come in, they're actually members of this club.
Well,
it's like a casual country club for card players.
I have a question. As we're talking, you're talking
sure.
about the no rake. You know, as you know, friends of mine, we would get together some years back, and somebody would host. So they would buy the food, they would buy the drinks, and they would set up everything, take care of everything. They provide the place, and so we were happy at that time to hey, yeah, we'll kick in. I forget what the number was, but it was some. I don't even know if it was a percentage, or if it was a few bucks per hand, just to cover the food, to say thank you, and so. For us, we felt like, oh, you know, he's deserving, absolutely. So it's completely, they must take quite a bit there at the casino. I mean, what is your job like? I mean, how do you make a profit doing this? I'm sure it's not a non-profit.
Sure. So what we do is we're a private member association. And so both by design and by the ordinances is that all players must be part of this club.
Mm-hmm.
So all of our players in our live games are members of Full House Poker.
Mm-hmm.
So our PMA is kind of a collective group, and everybody's 18 and over, but we don't have alcohol. We don't serve any food. Technically, I'm the only employee because it's a group of members that get together and play in a poker tournament. And we have dealers in the community. We provided some training, but a lot of these are professional dealers. All up and down the state, a lot of them from Vegas, and they'll come deal the tournament to the community
members. Wow, how neat is that?
They get paid directly from the players.
Okay.
And what Full House's revenue is, we have our memberships.
I see.
So if the two of you were to come play a tournament as a member, it's $30 a month or $120 a year.
Wow.
And that is excellent.
And so in a sense, not unlike a gym membership
yeah.
or some of these other things. And I'm curious because our casinos are open
yeah.
right now
exactly.
under this mandate, you know, and that is because Indian Country is sovereign nation right now, right?
Well, that's part of it. And part of it, I think, is they're too big to bully,
mm.
you know. When Kate Brown wants to weaponize OSHA, you know, the state law applies a lot to the Indian casinos, too, if it's not in their gaming act. But they're big, and they have big legal teams, just like Walmart and Amazon
mm-hmm.
and these Costco's that are open. They don't pick on the big guys. They pick on the little guys.
Incredible. And so there you are in the Eugene area, and the climate there in your community, what are you seeing from your brother and sister business owners down there? What's going on?
Eugene is a tough place to be a business owner. Oregon's a tough place to be a business owner. And we've had a little bit easier time than you have up there in Salem and Portland has regarding COVID itself. There's a lot of fear, and the propaganda works. You know, when you say stay home, save lives, and you're a bad person if you don't, those who are really comfortable, who have nothing to lose, even those who benefit from this staying home, whether it's unemployment or food stamps or stimulus checks, not all of us receive that.
Mm-hmm.
And those who do are the first ones to celebrate Kate Brown and think she has their best interests in mind because they're benefiting from it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you mentioned courthouse gyms in Salem. And, I mean, OSHA coming in and putting the red signs on the door and fining them $90,000, being open to the public, I think we have a little better option to dodge that. And I've dealt with OSHA. We've had complaints back in May when we reopened. But we're not open to the public by being a membership club.
Mm-hmm.
And technically, this gym, unless they have open door, anybody can come in and work out, they're probably not open to the public either. So I actually think John has a case to get all of those fines removed.
Good.
I agree, and there's a GoFundMe account now that's open up to help benefit them, too. People can give funds to the GoFundMe, and I'll put a link on that as well. I think we need to stand with businesses, and I appreciate your boldness, Justin, to stand up there. What do you say to that business owner is like, you know I need it reopened. I need to pay rent next month, you know, and that's the other factor in all of this, Justin, and I know you're well aware of it, but the people that own these buildings and these strip malls, all of their tenants that are able to still stay open or some of them are closed, they're not obligated to pay rent whether they're making their money or not. And so the people that actually own the land and own these buildings, they have to pay their
mortgage.
Obligations
mm-hmm.
and their mortgages. The banks aren't giving them a pass.
Mm-mm.
And this is causing a great economic strain in our state. And I see in the next couple months, if people don't get going and open up again, it's going to be a real problem. What do you say to that business owner who's on the fence, not sure what to do?
It's a scary time. And for us, it's important to me that we let our yeses be yeses and our noes be noes. So honoring our commitment, just because we were closed doesn't mean my landlord needed to have that buck passed to him.
Mm.
And so we paid all of our rent. We didn't ask for a rent relief. It would have been nice, but I felt it was out of our place to ask for that. And
mm-hmm.
we paid our utilities, and we paid, even though one of our dealers that lives in Roseburg and comes up once a month for a special event, we paid them because we know that it's not their fault that we were shut down.
Wow.
And
that's
we paid our Comcast bills, and we paid the guy that cleans our windows. Our commitments don't change just because we're being asked to take a sacrifice for the community. But sometimes you have to say no more.
Mm-hmm.
And business owners have a commitment to their leases and to their vendors and to their team, their staff, their families. So one of the reasons that we're not complying anymore is we've got a great guy that's one of our four floor managers. He's got two young kids that he needs to take care of, and the holidays are coming up.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm more worried about him than I am about us.
Mm-hmm.
And we're going to fight on his behalf.
Good deal.
One of the things I've been telling the businesses that I have a chance to encourage and come alongside and coach is to track the money that has been lost.
That's right.
Because of the regulation and the money spent on complying when you are open and all the things you're doing safety-wise and the additional staff to or contract to clean and all of those things. Track all of that, because it seems like, and I think you alluded to this in your letter too, normally in the Constitution, and Terry, you and I have talked about this, that when the government takes something,
they have to pay you ahead of time.
They're supposed to.
That's right.
Even in the Oregon Constitution.
That's right.
And I think every business needs to track that. Have you any idea of all the revenue loss?
Oh, sure. Well, one of our other business works with season ticket holders from the 49ers and Seahawks and Ducks. And we create these family experiences at sporting events. And from March 10th to May 10th, well, actually May 1st, so not quite two full months, we took an almost $300,000 loss, and
good grief,
everything was canceled. March Madness was canceled. Mm. Opening day baseball was canceled. All those sales had to be refunded back out. But these teams, much like our landlords and vendors and whatnot, they weren't expecting what to do with this too. So they couldn't just turn around and say, I'm sorry, it's tough on you, business owner. We'll help.
Mm.
And if they're not going to, but it's the government's decision, somebody needs to step up and say, here's the help.
Mm-hmm. You know,
they tried. I know that the CARES Act, they tried, but that didn't reach everybody.
Kate Brown says, I'm doing it because of the science. You know, well, the science is what? 1% that we're reading comes from bars and restaurants. And there's your science. Now you can take action.
Well, and it seems like unequal protection.
Mm-hmm.
One of the tenets of the Constitution, I believe we're in a constitutional crisis, not only U.S. Constitution, but Oregon constitutional crisis. We have no equal protection. She's picking winners and losers,
mm-hmm.
essential and non-essential, you know, based on her own guidelines, not based on science.
That's
and
right.
Justin, hang on. We're going to come back with more questions after this break. You're listening to Reliable News Talk Radio, KSLM. News that you can use
Good
on this
stuff
Monday.
This morning.
If you're a business owner or you know someone who's a business owner, we're standing with you, mm-hmm. and we want to get your story out. We'd love to tell your story. Let us know. We'll be back. Reliable News Talk Radio, KSLM. It's 7:50 in the morning. I'm Stacey Ann, joined by Terry this morning.
Good morning.
Glad to have you along for the ride. And on the line with me, I have Justin, and he is in the Eugene area, business owner, has a couple businesses, and has been impacted, certainly like so many others, by the lockdown. And Justin wrote this beautiful letter to Governor Brown. And it starts out by no more, not ever again. And he, Justin, you put this together so well and lay down the facts and the points. And I think it's a beautiful case, case for Oregonians in general, but specifically business owners. And I love what you said here. Freedom is not defined by safety, and certainly not the absurd, I can't even say that word, illusion of it that you peddle, but it is defined by the ability of citizens to live without interference from the government in our daily lives. It's long past time for you to remember that you work for us, not the other way around. The only power that you have is what we choose to give you. Mm-hmm. And you hit that so well, because we the people should have the power, right?
Absolutely. You had mentioned a constitutional crisis, and Oregon is in the middle of one. I mean, our whole nation is, but we're in it in both ways, the U.S. Constitution and the state constitution. And I'm not sure that Kate Brown or the Oregon Attorney General or sometimes Secretary of State or mayors, I'm not sure that any of them have read either.
Hmm. Yeah, there's just certainly... their oath of office at each of these elected officials that are leading the way and making these decisions, except for, I believe, at least here in Marion County, I've been very impressed with our Marion County commissioners pushing back and mm-hmm. really even highlighting, like, you're saying this, governor, but our numbers don't even compare
right.
When it comes to these statistics. And what can we do to open back up? These elected officials take an oath of office. And what's interesting, Justin, you'll find this interesting. I've covered it in a show before. Governor Brown's oath of office is distinctively different than many others. Many of them will say they'll defend and stand up for the Constitution. And hers says, to the best of her ability, she'll uphold.
Every word means something in a legal document.
Mm-hmm.
Every word.
So I think even her oath of office is in question.
Mm-hmm.
Certainly what she said she would try to do, she isn't doing very well, I don't believe. So you're right. We're in a constitutional crisis. So you reopen then on the 3rd. Is that the plan, or the 4th? What's your game plan?
Yeah, so we will be reopening on Thursday, sort of a soft reopen to make sure our team's, you know, back and familiar, and some of our more regular members are coming in. We'll be doing a training session. But then Friday we'll be open with live games and nightly tournament.
Fantastic. You'll have to send us information and links, and we'll let people know. Because
yeah.
I think people, part of it is people miss being together
mm-hmm.
and connecting, and maybe they'll join and be a membership. They'll
yep.
drive to Eugene.
That's right.
To your area to support you in business, certainly. And I know that this holiday season, as we move through the next few weeks, is going to be challenging for a lot of people. And I know you're going to keep your eyes and ears open of other businesses. Will you keep us in tune to what's going on
yes,
down in that area?
Absolutely. Thank you so much.
Well, we certainly appreciate you and wish you and your family well and your members well. And thank you for standing strong.
I appreciate it. And happy holidays to you both.
Yes, you too, Justin. Take care.
Take care.
You're listening to Reliable News Talk Radio, KSLM, enjoying a wonderful morning together, and it is inspiring to hear from business owners and leaders who are saying, I got to do something. This isn't right.
Well, they've tried to start at the top and work down. That mm-hmm. failed with the recall effort. You know, taking the steps that they were given, and now they're pushing back from the bottom up. Mm-hmm. Like, you know, can't do it. I'm going to lose the business one way or another. So I'm going to be open, and we'll try to do it that way.
Well, and even if you leverage fines and those kinds of
those things can be thrown out later.
Mm-hmm. And it'll be interesting to see when all of this is done. They say hindsight is 20/20, right?
You know, I would like to. I wonder if this went to a jury trial. You know, people around them that are going to be members of this jury. They're going to say, "Look, no, I'm glad he opened. I mean, it wasn't right." I would hope that because they have the final say. If you can get a jury involved, what do you think?
Well, the interesting thing for me, the thought that just occurred to me is never before in my lifetime have I heard so much about judges and courts and judges in mm-hmm. courts, not only on the local level, and you would think that that would bring some relief because in government, you're supposed to have an equal balance of power between mm-hmm. the executive, right, the judicial, and the legislative branch. Mm-hmm. Well, in our state, it's just been executive, executive, executive.
Yes.
Once in a while, if something gets to the judicial, all of those main judicial appointments have been done by Governor Brown.
Uh-huh.
Okay. And the legislative...
So there's no balance there.
There's no balance of powers at all. And the separation of powers is on the state level and the national level is intended to bring checks and balances.
That's right.
And we're watching this on the national level, too. And it's interesting because some of these court battles that are happening at the national level in regards to the election mm-hmm. and the integrity of the election, some of them are in civil court so versus criminal court. Interesting.
Mm-hmm.
And my understanding, and again, I'm not an attorney and I don't play one on TV, but my understanding in civil is you just have to have enough evidence to suspect there was trouble or fraud.
Well, I'd like to hear from an attorney today.
I know.
Email
wouldn't
us
that be
and
interesting?
Get you on the air.
And so it is
anonymously,
interesting.
Of course.
it is an interesting time that we live in. And certainly, you know, a lot of times we'll watch on TV these cases and you know, the feds coming in and the CIA and all of this. I hear it on the national level of all the intricate steps that everybody's taking to look into this fraud and where there's been, it's almost like a chess game, you know, and if you move here, then this will happen and you move there. And I don't play chess either. So,
you know, I tell you what you're saying is true. And I think people are paying more attention.
Mm.
You and I, we don't get involved with court and mm-hmm. all that sort of stuff, not in our daily lives, mm-hmm. but we've been pushed into it.
Mm-hmm.
And so I think we're going to come out on the other side. The public is going to be better versed and understanding of how our court and our government works.
Well, and even how we're taking in our information. There's been a big shift
That's
in the last
right.
3 weeks to who we're listening to for news. And generally mm-hmm. speaking, a lot of conservatives went to Fox News and got their information and then felt so betrayed over the election with them pre-calling the election. And it's not for the media to call. It's not been certified. The vote is on December 14th, and that's when the Electoral College gets together and their certification. And technically, not even until...
And there's no balance in media either.
Oh, there is no accountability.
No
balance whatsoever.
So that's sad because where else do we get our news? Thank goodness we have the internet.
And now the internet is being censored. And we talked about this last week with Josh. Even my email, and we've talked about this before, you want to look at maybe getting into a different email mm-hmm. system because my email, a couple emails that I get for news and resources about what's going on in the election process lately has been marked spam.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that they're monitoring our email, the Gmail, the Yahoo.
We're
going
to have to start communicating by CB.
We're going to have to do Morse code, get back to
Go
Morse
ahead,
code
good buddy.
Or something. You're listening to Reliable News Talk Radio, KSLM, enjoying a wonderful Monday with you. Thank you for tuning in. Next hour, we're going to talk a little bit about finances and our money and what we can do stay out of the credit trap and as we move over into the new year and through the holidays. You're listening to Reliable News Talk Radio, KSLM, news that you can use on this Monday going into hour 2. Stay tuned. We'll be back after this.